Chapter 8. The Exchange Step 1, Recognize. Psalm 139 verses 23 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God knows our hearts, our thoughts, and our ways. He wants us to invite Him to search our hearts, to make us aware of how we think, and to lead us in His way. But the enemy of our souls doesn't want us to know God's truth, because the truth will set us free. The enemy of our souls doesn't want us to be able to discern the worldly beliefs that have taken root in our hearts and are bearing ungodly fruit in our lives. The enemy of our souls wants us to remain in the dark, to remain deceived and blind. He wants us to be controlled by deception and in bondage to fears that block our intimacy with God and other people. But God wants to open our eyes. He wants us to be able to discern what is motivating us. God wants to plant His truth in our hearts so we can have a godly, fruitful life rather than a worldly, weedy life. God wants us to be led by His truth, to live by faith, and to experience intimacy with Him and other people. In this world, we will have trouble. No matter how hard we try, we cannot escape the pain of living in a fallen world. In addition, we are fallen ourselves and our hearts are deceptive. Our ways seem right to us. But the God of the universe has given us the gift of free will. Which way will we turn when we experience troubling situations? Will we turn to God and receive His wisdom and power? Or will we rely on our own wisdom and willpower, only to find ourselves lost in fear, anxiety, and confusion? In chapter 1, we looked at the fall of Adam and Eve and how their rebellion against God caused all people and the whole earth to come under a curse. In chapter 2, we saw that we are now in the middle of a spiritual battle between the ways of the world and the ways of God, whether we realize it or not. In chapter 3, we examined the faithfulness of God to redeem His children from the curse of the fall and bring us back into an intimate relationship with Himself. In chapters 4 through 7, we contrasted the belief system of the world with the belief system of God in four foundational areas: self-righteousness versus Christ's righteousness, idolatry versus Christ's love, guilt versus Christ's forgiveness, and shame versus Christ's redemption. In the next four chapters, we'll be focusing on the four steps of the Exchange Discipleship Tool: recognize, reject, replace, and rejoice. In this chapter, we'll be focusing on step one, which is recognize. The Exchange Discipleship Tool. As we have said, the Exchange Discipleship Tool is a spiritual weapon with divine power to demolish strongholds of deception. Strongholds of deception are worldly beliefs that have taken root in our hearts. The ungodly fruit in our lives is the evidence that strongholds of deception have taken root in our hearts. Strongholds of deception hold us back from being intimately connected with God. They hinder us from being able to love God and others the way God wants us to. They prevent us from being who God created us to be and doing what He created us to do. In the exchange process, we give ourselves to God and He gives Himself to us. We give Him our self-righteousness and He gives us Christ's righteousness. We give Him the idols in our heart and He gives us Christ's love. We give Him our guilt and He gives us Christ's forgiveness. We give Him our shame and He gives us Christ's redemption. We give God our worries, our doubts, and our fears, and He gives us His peace, His hope, and His joy. We give Him our toxic stinking thinking, and He gives us the mind of Christ. What an amazing exchange! The foundation of the Exchange Discipleship Tool is Scripture. In the exchange, the underlying beliefs and core values are determined not by the culture or the individual, but by God. We are usually blind to the worldly beliefs that have taken root in our hearts and need God to reveal them to us. Only God has the power to demolish strongholds of deception that have been established in our hearts. We need to bathe the entire exchange process in prayer, inviting God to show us what we cannot see. Heart transformation versus behavior modification. The Exchange Discipleship Tool is about heart transformation, not behavior modification. God cares about our behavior, but he's more concerned about our hearts. Heart transformation is like open-heart surgery, and God is the great physician. His purpose is to remove the unhealthy parts of our hearts in order to promote healing and healthy growth. The Bible calls the process circumcision of the heart, in which the Holy Spirit cuts away the fleshly sin nature. Jesus told the Pharisees to clean the inside of the cup and then the outside would be clean. As our hearts become increasingly clean, our behavior will also become clean. As the disease in our souls begins to heal, the ungodly symptoms in our life will begin to disappear. The fruit is the evidence of the root. An apple tree bears apples, not thistles. A fig tree bears figs. What happens in our lives is the product of what is in our hearts. What we do is determined by what we really believe. But sometimes we get the process backwards. We try to behave like good Christians. We try to do the right thing. We do our best to be obedient. But unfortunately, what we do is sometimes like man-made, lifeless, plastic fruit rather than God-produced, life-giving, real fruit. The Spirit of God produces godly fruit in our lives, not our own self-effort. That's why it's called the fruit of the Spirit. Our good behavior doesn't make us a Christian, it doesn't prove we're a Christian, and it doesn't make us more like Jesus. A Christian is defined as someone who has been born of God, not someone who behaves well. God knows who are His, and He has marked His own people with the seal of His Holy Spirit, which is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance as God's children. It's the Spirit of God within us who takes the Word of God and uses it to change the heart and life of the child of God. The fruit of true heart transformation is behavior modification, not the other way around. Godly change happens as a one-time event at conversion and as an ongoing lifelong process through sanctification. No matter how mature we are or how long we have walked with the Lord, there will always be areas of unbelief in a believer's heart. Because we are not Jesus, the Lord will always have more work He needs to accomplish in us, as long as we live on earth. Having our eyes open to be able to recognize the sin in our hearts is not pretty, it's not fun, and it's painful. But it's the pathway to true spiritual healing and growth. The exchange is a tool of sanctification that can help us cooperate with God in tearing down the strongholds of unbelief in our hearts so that God Himself can progressively become a stronghold of truth for us. Spiritual insight from God is a wonderful gift that leads to true freedom from the death-producing power of strongholds of deception. How about you? Are you trying to produce godly fruit in your life by your own self-effort? Or are you trusting the power of God's Spirit and His Word to produce His fruit in you? Sowing and reaping. If we sow to the sinful nature, we will reap from the sinful nature. Sowing to the sinful nature means living in self-righteousness, which is deciding for myself what is right, and idolatry, which means fixing our attention on other things and listening to other people rather than God. Sowing to the sinful nature is evidenced by the fruit we reap in our lives, such as antagonism, discontent, anxiety, impatience, unkindness, meanness, unfaithfulness, and being controlling. But when we sow to the Spirit, we reap the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. I want to sow to the Spirit, not to the flesh. How can we tell? Since the most effective lie is closest to the truth, how do we know if we've been deceived into thinking we're following the ways of God and the Holy Spirit when in reality we're following the ways of the world and the sinful nature? It's easy to be a good Christian when life is going well. But like a tube of toothpaste, when we're squeezed by the pressures and trials of life, then what's really inside of us comes out. Consider the following behaviors, and which ones most accurately describe your typical responses. Be honest. The first group is examples of how we respond when the sinful nature is controlling us. I'm antagonistic when others are not loving to me. I'm discontented when I don't like my circumstances. I'm anxious when life is not going well. I'm impatient when things are not going my way. I'm unkind to people who are unkind to me. I'm mean to people who are mean to me. I'm unfaithful when life is hard. I'm harsh when other people disagree with me. I'm controlling. But the second group is examples of how we respond when the Holy Spirit is controlling us. I'm loving even when others are not loving to me. I'm joyful even when I don't like my circumstances. I'm at peace even when life is not going well. I'm patient even when things are not going my way. I'm kind to people who are not kind to me. I'm good to people who are not good to me. I'm faithful when life is hard. I'm gentle even when other people disagree with me. The love of Christ controls me. How about you? How do you typically respond when life is not going well? Would you like to be able to respond more like Jesus when life is hard? If so, how do you think that happens? Triggering situations. Step 1 of the exchange process begins with being able to identify triggering situations in our life. A triggering situation is an event that produces distressing emotions such as anxiety, anger, fear, irritation, or frustration in us. A triggering situation is something that happens that pushes our button. It can also elicit an ungodly behavioral response such as yelling, overeating, withdrawing, or fantasizing as we attempt to deal with our distressing emotions. Other names for triggering situations are troubles, trials, problems, difficulties, and crises. When a situation triggers distressing emotions and ungodly behaviors in us, we can use that situation as an opportunity to invite God to help us examine our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors in the situation. A triggering situation then becomes an opportunity for revelation. This is a major paradigm shift. Viewing a difficult situation as an opportunity is not the way we normally think. Our natural human response is to try to make difficult situations go away, fix the problem, and figure out a solution. But a more godly attitude looks at difficult situations from an eternal perspective. An eternal perspective helps us find freedom from the power of strongholds in our lives and enlarges our capacity to love God and other people, even in the middle of difficult situations. It can be helpful to write out the triggering situation first before trying to sort out our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors on the exchange form. Numbering the pages and only using the front side of the paper will make it easier to review what we've written. First, we can pour our heart out to God. Then we can ask Him to help us sort out the mess on the exchange form. First, pour it out, and then sort it out. Don't try to work it out without God. It's helpful to focus on the heart of the triggering situation so we don't become distracted or confused by side issues. Although we live from the inside out, the exchange process is done from the outside in. We want to track it back from what is evident on the outside to what is happening on the inside. What am I really believing in my heart that is triggering the distressing feelings and ungodly behaviors in me? The exchange can be done retroactively on a situation that's already happened, actively on a situation as it's happening, or proactively on a situation that's coming up. The exchange form. Filling out the exchange form can be time-consuming and feel tedious. But when we're willing to take the time, it helps to slow us down and sort out our thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. It also helps us to gain a better perspective of ourselves and remember the things that God reveals to us. In addition, it hinders the enemy from stealing God's truth from us. God is light, and in Him there is no darkness. Light reveals what darkness conceals. Light overcomes darkness. Doing an exchange can help us gain a more godly perspective on ourselves, on disturbing situations in our lives, on the people we interact with, and on God Himself. We can fill out the exchange form with whatever comes to mind first. It's okay to jump around between thoughts, feelings, and behaviors. It's also helpful to be on the lookout for patterns of thoughts, feelings, and behaviors between situations. Our thoughts. We need to write down what we really thought. We won't want to write down ugly or unchristian thoughts. The tendency will be to want to justify our ungodly thoughts, rationalize them, spiritualize them, or explain them. But the purpose of step one is not to edit, censor, correct, or deny our thoughts as ungodly, faulty, wrong, or unscriptural. If we want to make progress on the journey of becoming free from ungodly thoughts that are controlling us, then the first step is to acknowledge them, not deny them. We need to think about our thinking. For example, we can ask ourselves questions such as, "What was behind that thought? What was I really thinking? What is implied by that thought? What is driving me, motivating me, and controlling me? What am I afraid of?" It's also helpful to recognize he, she, and they statements in our thinking. Finger-pointing is connected with blame and can be a defense mechanism against the emotional pain of feeling guilty or inadequate. Blame is a way of trying to justify ourselves by focusing attention on other people rather than taking responsibility for our own ungodly responses. When we recognize blame statements in our thinking, we can ask ourselves, "What is the painful implication about myself that I'm trying to avoid by blaming someone else?" In addition, if any of our thoughts are questions, it can be helpful to state the implied troubling answer to the questions, rather than letting them go round and round in our head. What is it that we're trying to run away from or avoid facing by asking endless questions without answers? Our feelings. The church sometimes teaches us not to trust our feelings. Sometimes we're taught that feelings are deceptive and dangerous. We're often taught that we should live by faith and not pay attention to our feelings. But God feels. He feels passionately and powerfully. Feelings are part of being created in the image of God. Feelings are part of being truly alive. We typically handle our painful feelings in one of two ways. We either express them freely without restraint, or we try to suppress them. But a better way to handle our distressing feelings is to process them with God and harness them under His reign. We do this by taking our feelings to God, expressing them fully in His presence, identifying them accurately, and releasing them to Him. God is big enough to handle our painful and powerful feelings. The example of King David. The Psalms include many examples of King David expressing his painful feelings passionately before the Lord. We can learn much about the godly management of our distressing emotions through reading the Psalms. For example, in Psalm 27, King David felt afraid, unsafe, forsaken, and weak. In Psalm 55, he felt troubled, distraught, in anguish, and distressed. In Psalm 62, he felt shaken, assaulted, hopeless, and powerless. In Psalm 73, he felt envious, afflicted, and embittered. In Psalm 109, he felt angry and unjustly accused. King David had feelings that were passionate and powerful, and sometimes his feelings got him into serious trouble. But when King David sinned, in response to his feelings, he acknowledged his sin and turned to God for forgiveness and cleansing. King David was a passionate and powerful man. He was not sinless, but he was called a man after God's own heart. Identifying our feelings. Feelings can be difficult to identify, especially if we have not been permitted to express certain feelings such as anger, sadness, or fear. Or if we have deadened ourselves to unpleasant feelings in order to avoid pain, to avoid hurting others or being rejected, or to avoid conflict. Feelings are usually one word. If you have trouble identifying your feelings, it can be helpful to refer to the examples of negative feelings chart in the back pocket. It can also be helpful to refer back to the discussion about feelings in Chapter 2. Painful, distressing feelings are like a red flag that alerts us to danger lurking beneath the surface. They are like a fever that tells us there's an infection in the body. They are like a blinking light on the dashboard of a car that makes us aware that we need to check under the hood. The way to manage painful negative feelings is not to express them freely without restraint to other people, or to try to kill them, but rather to press into them with Jesus. God will never leave us nor forsake us, regardless of how ugly we can be. He loves us powerfully and passionately. God is our safe place. Our behaviors. We need to write down what we did or didn't do, internally and externally, actively and passively. What we do is often a means of coping with how we feel. We often eat uncontrollably because we feel empty. We work obsessively because we feel insignificant. Or we clean compulsively because we feel dirty. Although many behaviors are not inherently ungodly, the question we need to ask ourselves is why we're doing what we're doing. Ungodly behavior is like sugar. It tastes so good in the moment and is very addictive. But in the long run, ungodly behavior will wreak havoc in our lives. The focus of the exchange course is not on what we do, but on who we are. As God changes us on the inside, the byproduct is that our behavior will start to change on the outside. Although our motivation will never be completely pure this side of heaven, God has promised to finish the work He began in us. And although we have to contend with the negative influence of the sinful nature as long as we live here on earth, God can grow us in purity of heart as we lay our lives open before Him. For help, you can refer to the examples of ungodly behaviors chart in the back pocket. Closing thoughts. God is powerful and real. He is stronger than our strongest fears. He wants us to draw near to Him so He can heal us and set us free. God wants to bless us by giving spiritual insight, revelation, wisdom, and understanding to us, even when that revelation is about dark parts of ourselves that we don't really want to see. God is delighted to show us His way and teach us His truth. Spiritual wisdom and understanding come from the Spirit of God. Our part is to ask God for His wisdom, insight, and understanding, and then live out in our lives what He reveals in our hearts. Trouble is like a test that God can use to show us what's really in our hearts. Trouble can be a blessing in disguise as God redeems it to make us more like Jesus. We can cling to our own efforts to conquer our sin, or we can cling to God. The pathway to emotional and spiritual healing is to invite God into the troubling situations we face, ask Him to test us and know our anxious thoughts, ask Him to see if there is any offensive way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting, the way of Jesus. Which way will you choose? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You that You know me better than I know myself. You know my heart, You know my thoughts, and You know my ways. I want to know You better. I want to be able to see the things that are holding me back from being all that You created me to be, and doing all that You created me to do. I want to be able to see, and be free, from any offensive ways in me. I do not want to be deceived by the schemes of the enemy of my soul. I proactively invite You into the triggering situations in my life. I invite You to search my heart and show me what I'm blind to. I don't want to miss opportunities to receive Your wisdom, insight, and understanding. I want to be able to discern the things that are controlling me that are not of You. I invite You to plant Your truth deep inside me. I want to have a fruitful life that glorifies You. I want to follow You with my whole heart. In Your Son's precious name, Amen.